Coming at you live from the Comic Books Transform Studios, which means my garage and I guess Brian's basement. Yes, I am Anchor Pete, and I'm here with my good friend Brian, Mr. Coors Hair. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Yes, Brian and I, we've been talking about Jupiter's Legacy, and we've covered episodes 1 and 2, and we've also covered episodes 3 and 4. Well, tonight, we're going to wrap up the whole thing, covering episodes 5 through 8. And then at the very end, we're also going to talk about the Eternals trailer, which just dropped this week. So, Brian, you read like all of Jupiter's Legacy stuff
recently. Yes. So at the end of the last episode, I swore I was going to finish off the series and finish my reread of the entire series, or first read if you consider Jupiter's Circle. It was my first time. So... Yes, I have now read everything, and I have a lot more context for everything now, which I probably should have had in the first place.
Yeah, dude, I totally agree. We haven't shown this in the videos because I've actually edited it out, but it gets a little confusing with Comixology and their numbering of the Jupiter's Legacy comic. But for just the sake of just trying to be clear between you and me, let's just talk about Jupiter's Legacy the way it used to be numbered.
Yeah.
Is that cool? So for me, Brian, I actually had not read Jupiter's Legacy Volume 2, which I'm kind of glad that I did before I finished the show, because there's things from that are in this show too.
Yes. I mean, essentially, I feel like this show essentially showed us 2.5 episodes of Volume 1 of Jupiter's Legacy with a few cherry-picked things from other issues from both Volume 2 and the bits of Jupiter's Circle.
Yeah. I totally agree. And so we should just let people know that this is going to be spoiler central then. We're spoiling stuff for the Jupiter's Legacy show. We're spoiling stuff for the Jupiter's Legacy comic too.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, that fact like absolutely blows my mind. The speed at which the comic goes is so fast, and this is just taking a totally different approach to it.
Yeah. It's rough because like, I don't think I've mentioned this in our previous episodes, but when you know how, like if you have flashbacks and all the characters are currently alive in the present and like pretty much all the questions are answered in the present about what happened in the past, then all the flashback stuff is not interesting.
Well, I think it is fairly interesting how they got their powers. I mean, it's a valid. I'm sorry, it's actually not that interesting how they got the powers in this show or comic, but it's a valid question because they're just showing you this like superhero family, and you kind of wonder like, well, everyone wants to know like what are their origins? Like, you know, that's like the biggest. One of the biggest building blocks in superhero movies today and shows is you have to know where they came from, you know?
Yeah, where their powers come from. Yeah, but my question is, did it need like 4 or 5 episodes of a TV show to tell that
story?
No,
in the comic, they conveyed this entire point, the entire point of all the flashback sequences in about 10 panels.
Oh my God.
You know, I didn't realize it's insane.
Yeah, dang. I didn't even realize it was that few. Because, like, yeah, it's like maybe 3 pages of a comic, maybe.
Yeah. I'm probably off at the 10. Right? That was just a wild guess. But it's so few. It's like it's completely established in the first 2 issues. Like, that's it.
Yeah. I guess just like to me, because I'm actually very interested in Sky Fox. I'm interested in Sky Fox on the show, and I also am really into the comic, the character, the comic, right? And so, like, that was one sort of intriguing thing that they had at the very end of the show. But, boy, did you have to go through a lot of just things being dragged out to get to him.
Yes, I kind of agree with that. And I think one of the things one of the few things I enjoyed about the extended past sequences are the depictions of Walt. And how the other characters treat him. I think it's a nice background and kind of informs his later actions a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everyone's kind of a dick to Walt. And like, nobody, Like he has this one. I don't remember what episode it is. I want to say it's episode 7, but he has this great speech about how, you know, he's the older brother, but his younger brother is like the one everyone looks up to. You know.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm thinking, like, wow, like that's. I mean, I obviously have not experienced that myself. I grew up as an only child. I mean, I have a sister now, but you know, it's I'm the older one, so. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's gotta feel weird.
Yes. Yeah, dude, I totally know what you're saying. He seems so much more respectable in the past than he is in the present. And then in the present, particularly in the very last episode, that's when he starts to show his kind of sinister side. But in the comics, he is like, he's pretty dastardly in the comics.
Yeah, and they show it right off the bat. Like, cause, like we, I think we even said this in the first episode when he's invading Blackstar's mind, like, he's just like a jerk about it, dude. I mean, which is fine. It's a villain, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just clearing away. But it seems like in this show, they wanted to show that he was a tormented character. And I think I actually enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the few positives I took away from the past sequences.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one of the things that they made different from the comic, right? And speaking of that sort of that journey and then being on the island, I felt like that justified the name of the comic and the show, right? Because I keep thinking to myself, why the hell is the comic called Jupiter's Legacy? I get the legacy part. I don't get the Jupiter part.
Okay, so I can answer this. It's supposed to be inspired by the Roman main god, Jupiter, who's essentially like the Greek equivalent, I mean, the Roman equivalent of Zeus.
Yes.
And so the Utopian is supposed to essentially look like Jupiter. And it's supposed to be, you know, like a sprawling mythology, like Roman mythology.
Okay. Very good.
But the fact that you have to like go look that up is like ridiculous. You know, there's no real hint to it. Yeah. I don't ever recall, I mean, other than the Jupiter being a bearded dude with white hair, I don't really recall any of the, like, the costuming or anything like that to imply that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, and I honestly, I was always, Greek mythology has always been more upfront in pop culture, I would say, than Roman mythology is.
Absolutely.
So, it's like a little out of left field to me.
Yeah, that's interesting because I actually thought that there was almost like a practical reason why it was called Jupiter's Legacy, like JL. I thought it was like Justice League, you know?
It probably absolutely has something to do with that as well, although yeah. I was not able to find any confirmation like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, even in my note writing, I'm writing JL, I'm like, oh, Justice League.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say to you, man, like, speaking of the Justice League, right? I didn't think about this until recently, rereading the book, but don't you kind of think that their origin is sort of like Batman's origin, Superman's origin, and Wonder Woman's origin in one origin?
You actually cut out in the first one. So you said Superman, what was the first one?
Okay. So I'm saying that, like, I didn't realize this until I read the comic again, but yeah. Don't you feel like in the show and the comic, it's almost like Batman's origin, Superman's origin, and Wonder Woman's origin all in one?
Yeah, that being Sheldon, I can't remember
Sky Fox's
name. What's his name? George? George.
Oh, George is Sky Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what I was going to say, though, is that, like, I don't know if it's intentional with Mark Miller, because I know that Mark Miller said he wanted to have this kind of, like, King Kong-type feeling when they went to the island. Like, that's the kind of story he was imitating, because King Kong is actually his favorite movie. Right.
Yeah, I definitely get that vibe from it. You know, the 30s, the exploration, the mysterious island. I mean, there's no giant creature. Actually, right. Well, in the comic, there kind of are some giant aliens, but, yeah. You know, they don't really get into that. They don't make that decision in this, which I guess is okay. I mean, sometimes showing aliens can be weird and popular in TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah. With the effects that they had, it probably would have looked a little hokey, too. But
yeah.
But what I was going to say, because I'm a little bit all over the place too, I felt like on the show, the island kind of justified the legacy part because on the island, they pretty much interacted with people that were like, you know, their parents, right? Not everyone. People met different people, right? But like Sheldon saw his father, and then one of them saw their mother. I think George saw his mother. And so I get the idea of legacy there. And of course, obviously with the kids, it's legacy. But then they also had like a giant Jupiter, like the planet Jupiter was there when they went through the doors on the island.
Oh, was it? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. There was a giant planet in the, you know, the skyline, and it was Jupiter. It had the storm, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But the reason why I was saying that their origins are all just like Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman's origin is because aliens are involved like Superman. And then for Wonder Woman, they go to an island, right? And then for Batman, it's like they're millionaires to begin with, you know? And so it's kind of like all three of the Trinity right there.
That's a very excellent point. Yeah, there's this little tiny bit of everybody in there.
Yeah. I just wanted to like do a little quick aside real quick. Looks like our friend Adit, he wrote, "Hi, Pete and friend." The friend is Brian. Think Eternals trailer is okay, but did get me interested in seeing the story. This is something every trailer should. Well, Adit, we're going to talk about Eternals in a little bit after we wrap up our Jupiter's Legacy. Brian, what'd you think of Roku? Or no, it's not Roku. That's Raikou. Raikou.
Raikou. Well, I mean, it was obviously a different use of the character in the show than the comic. I mean, they allude to it being Walt's daughter, but she's just used in a completely different way in the follow-up Jupiter's Legacy Volume 2.
Right.
So yeah, it was interesting to see her used here, and I guess she won't be used in the way in the comic.
No, yeah. Spoilers. Were you shocked that her throat was slit in this show?
Yes and no. I mean, like we said, like we've read the comic. We know that Walt was behind a lot of this or all of this. So it's not surprising. It's not a surprising twist to me, but I guess it's just surprising that they killed off the character. I mean, they don't potentially need her for what she did in the comic.
Right.
They could probably throw anybody in there. It doesn't really make a difference. So yeah, I guess I was slightly shocked, but totally.
Yeah. Just for anyone that hasn't read the comic, hopefully this isn't spoiling too much, but the way that she's used in the comic is essentially there's a character that takes people's powers, kind of like Rogue from X-Men, and he takes her power, which is just like Brainwave's power, Walt's power. And, you know, he uses that in the final battle. And it's actually a really great sequence in that final battle. Remember him versus Brain? I love that.
Yeah.
So good.
That guy was great. What was his name? Repo?
Repro.
Repro. Repro, that's right.
Yeah. And as a side note with Repro, Brian, didn't you feel like aesthetically he looks like what Hutch looks like on the show, right?
That's actually a great point. I didn't even think about that.
He's
got that same kind of haircut. Yeah, I mean, I take it that Repro was like an Indian man. There's definitely some similarities with the haircut there. Because the comics, Hutch is blonde and, you know, looks like the George Hutchins on the show.
Right. Yeah, even in the comic, they say something like, looks like he got my Irish looks or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
He's not like that on the show, yeah. I will have to say, since we're kind of jumping around a little bit, that ultimately the way they used Hutch in the second half of the season was kind of disappointing. And throughout, I felt like Chloe was pretty disappointing throughout the entire show.
Well, like we keep going back to say, or I keep saying, that they covered 2.5 issues. They are going to be more in the forefront moving forward if there's a season 2.
Yeah.
Obviously, they kind of have to be. Although, I mean, I guess there are some possibilities they could change. I'm not really sure. But they are the main focus of the book. Like, they are the protagonists of the book.
Yes.
So we will be seeing more of them. And they just needed to establish that they exist and you know, have them kind of wait in a sense. Because, you know, their part is coming. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, it is absolutely dragged out.
Oh, yeah.
In the comic they had already met, and, you know, you immediately find out that Chloe is pregnant, you know, right after.
Yeah.
That has not happened there. They met during the show. I guess they re-met during the show. And then their relationship is forged here, and they kind of they show, you know, they show Hutch's crew kind of abandoning him, and then Chloe kind of comes in to help out. So it establishes their relationship and their them working together for the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the downfall of the show, right? Is because in the comic, she's not likable within like the first two issues or so, and then there's this big coup. And then the rest of the show is, or the comic is her kind of becoming who she's supposed to be. And you really get behind her and you really care about her and Hutch and their family. And in the show, it's really just supposed to set her up as like, okay, she's this screw up and she's connected to Hutch. And so we don't see much more than that. And it make her unlikable on the show. Hutch, they do make likable on the show, but it's kind of, you know, they're in like a holding pattern essentially.
And yeah, like you said. And it's unfortunate. They should have sped the show up a little bit.
Yeah, I really did like the last sequence with him and her, where like he breaks into a vault to get this special item, and there's no oxygen in the vault, so he can't like use his rod. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
that was cool. But Brian, like the thing in general, like what do you think about Walt's plan on the show, like that comes to fruition in the last episode? Like, what do you think about it?
It's absolutely, it seems too excessive. Like, it seems like it's too much work. Like, it could have been accomplished much easier, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with the whole, like, plot to go into the fake brain, Black Star's mind.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean, it seems like they were in legitimate peril there. Like, I don't think they were faking that, you know?
Right,
but,
right.
Like he could have actually gotten trapped in there, but he made his own trap for himself there that no one was going to see. Grace happened to go in there to witness it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which he even said was not expected or planned. So like, why? Like, why they did all that to trick the audience, to hide from the audience, which is totally disingenuous to the viewer. That's like, it's like showing you one thing and then, you know, telling you another afterwards. It, like, you can hide something, but you can't say the opposite and then tell them the opposite. You know, you can't do that.
Very, very good point. Very good point. It's essentially something that's done because you're trying to trick the audience. You're trying to make the audience think one way, but it doesn't make sense within the logic of the show at all.
Although there is one tiny little part of me, because when you see the last thing you see inside the fake Black Star's mind.
Yeah,
is the Sky Fox imitation or image or illusion, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
was doing something to Walt. So I mean, there is a slight, tiny little bit of me that thinks like, what if Walt didn't come out and Sky Fox did?
Oh, that would be cool.
Which that would be a twist and kind of cool, but does not really honor the comic, I don't think, at all.
No. It would be a big departure from the comic. And the thing is that, like, with all the characters, some have seemed very different from their comic book counterpart, particularly Brandon. But I feel like by the end of the show, they're kind of where they're supposed to be, right? And, like, I think that Brandon, the way they set him up in the show, he's going to be the Brandon in the comic now. But if they change Sky Fox in the show, he's going to be very different from the comic then. Because he's not a true villain. He's just a guy that has been, like, disenfranchised by the whole system. And not to mention that Brainwave, like, brainwashed his wife, right? Or his girlfriend. Yeah.
It was his fiance, and then he then Brainwave ended up marrying her instead and having a whole family.
Yeah. They could totally flashback to all that in the second season. I think I'm kind of either way about Sky Fox if they were to change his motivation, if they were to like truly make him villainous and make it that he corrupted Walt. That would be interesting if they do it well, but based on what I've seen of this show, I'm not sure if they could pull that off.
Yeah, I feel like this is me, you know, having a crazy fan theory more than anything, and it probably is not that case.
Yeah,
it like we said, it just doesn't fit the Sky Fox comic character. I mean, we should be expecting variations, but that would be a kind of a big departure, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Too big of a departure, I mean.
Yeah, we got all that speculation because of, you know, watching these Marvel shows. We're always speculating all the time. So,
yeah. I mean, at the same time, though, they don't give you anything about why Sky Fox was bad in the show.
Not yet.
Nothing. No. They just said that he turned on them. That was it.
Right.
So it's not like completely out of the realm of possibility, but I'm saying it's likely not true.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's a spoiler for the comic. There's a really great arc where he's missing and that his son Hutch finds him. And it's this kind of really touching scene. I think it's actually one of the best scenes in the whole comic where they kind of reunite with each other. But then when it's time for like the actual final battle, he's like gone like almost immediately to where it's almost like, wait, that's it? So I could see them kind of changing his character for the show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we have to see if we even get like when that will even happen. Like, I mean, is the next season going to be another 2.5 issues? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But then again, actually, well, the first volume of Jupiter's Legacy is only 5 issues, so maybe that actually makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the thing is, having just read Volume 2 and seeing how it all ends, it has this, like, great ending. It's, like, real stressful. You feel real scared for Chloe and Hutch and their kid. And it's, like, this kind of this epic battle. I loved it. It was this big superhero showdown, you know?
Yeah, no, it is really great. And, like, you know, how many seasons does this show take to get there?
I don't know, man.
I mean, it's got to be at least 3 to me.
Exactly, exactly.
I feel like if they were going to do the big coup, you know, in the beginning of season 2, there's no reason to do that. They should have did it at the end of season 1. They should have did it right now. So that means – that tells me that that's going to happen most likely at the end of season 2.
Yeah, I think you're right. You think you're right. And then, like, season 3 will be, like, them kind of, like, on the run. And then if there was a season 4, it would be, like, maybe that battle finally.
Yeah. But, I mean, who knows with Netflix?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Netflix does not have a track record of getting the shows past, like a third season, really.
Yeah. So we'll see. But overall, Brian, like, if you were going to say, for the shows that we've reviewed on our channel, right? We've reviewed WandaVision, we've reviewed Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and we've reviewed this. You would say that, like, this isn't even the same league as those other two shows, right?
Oh, God, no. No way.
Yeah. I have kind of, like, a little confession. I might turn off some of my viewers, but I'm not a fan of The Walking Dead show. I never really have been. I got kind of turned off by, like, the finale of the first season. And this show kind of reminds me of The Walking Dead, where it's, like, sort of overdramatic. There's sort of some excessive violence, but then it's not like as crazy as the comic. And it's an Image comic too, just like Walking Dead. But it just seems like so much filler just to get to specific iconic parts in the comic.
Yeah, that's fair, Jasmine. I bailed on The Walking Dead around the season 7, I think.
Whoa, okay. You went a lot longer than me.
Wait, was it 7? I don't know. I bailed right after Negan, honestly.
Okay. I think a lot of people did.
Yeah. I think so. I think my reasoning was different than most people's, but there's a lot of different things there. They mix things around. There does seem to be a lot of filler a lot of the times, but I mean, I did enjoy the show for a while. I enjoyed the comic. I haven't finished the comic. I've read like 30 of the 36 or 37 volumes, something like that.
That's crazy.
Oh, no. There's 30. I've read 25. That's what it is.
Wow.
Something I own, like, almost all of them.
So. Wow. Yeah. The comic is great. The show I can't vouch for. But what I can say about Jupiter's Legacy is that the Jupiter's Legacy comic is really good, and the Jupiter Circle comic is really good. And, you know, if you guys weren't that keen on the show, I would at least give the comic a try, because it's exciting. The artwork is fantastic. And it shows you how much better this kind of story can be told in a comic versus a TV show.
Yeah, and also there will be a sequel series coming out that was supposed to come out in 2019.
Right, Jupiter's Requiem, right?
Jupiter's Requiem, and it is still not out. I mean, there are some pre-order dates around out there, but who knows if they'll actually hold.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm on board. I didn't realize it, but like reading all this Mark Miller stuff recently, I'm like, damn, I am like a pretty big Mark Miller fan, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you look through the backs of the Jupiter's Legacy comic, you see all of his like Miller World stuff, and a lot of times he'll have his fans post like cosplay of them dressed up as like Mark Miller characters. And it's so crazy that he has so many different characters that this one guy made. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this one guy made so many characters that people dress up as and are in so many different comics, and they are in so many movies. And speaking of someone like that, we also have Jack Kirby. One man who his contribution has dwarfed Mark Miller by quite a bit. But Jack Kirby has made so many comic book characters and added to the mythology of the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe. So, Brian, that's my long transition to say, let's talk about the Eternals trailer.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Brian, speaking of Eternals, I don't mean to put you on the spot. What's one thing you know about the Eternals at all?
Nothing.
Okay.
I know the character of Cersei from the 80s Avengers. I know that she exists. I know that she was an Avenger. That is essentially it. Other than, that's it. That's really it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I gotta always mute this shit when I'm playing it. I'm just gonna have the trailer playing in the background while we talk, because honestly, I kind of forgot some of it. But what I know about the Eternals is based on this Neil Gaiman comic that I read. And I also just know in general that essentially, Jack Kirby was going to make like a mythology for Marvel that was kind of similar to his New Gods. I think the Eternals came after the New Gods. And it's the idea that like the Celestials took humans and they did two things with them. They took primitive humans and made them into either like these sort of like godlike, like Greek godlike characters, like the people you would see in Jupiter's Legacy, or they made them into these things called deviants, which are these sort of like goblin-y kind of orc-like creatures. Like, did you kind of know that at all, or?
I knew about the. I obviously know what the Celestials are, and I knew about the difference between the Eternal and the Deviant, but. My knowledge of anything besides like maybe the character name of Icarus and Cersei, that's where it ends.
Yeah, and honestly, that's kind of it too. Like people that have watched like the MCU movies, they'll maybe have recognized the Celestials. There's the Celestial Head. That's the base for the Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, it's in Guardians of the Galaxy. They have this Celestial Head, and then also Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 says that he is a Celestial too. And then they show Celestials in Guardians of the Galaxy, like their full gigantic size. And I think they were in some other recent Marvel movie too, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the guards in Thor Ragnarok were very Celestial inspired.
Oh yes.
They never really explained that though. So,
so that brings up the main thing I really wanted to talk about, because I don't have much of the story I can contribute to, but what I can say is that on Twitter, the main gripe that people had was, look at what this comic looked like in the, I guess, 70s or maybe even 80s, whenever Jack Kirby made this, and look at what the movie is, right? Did you see anything like that on Twitter?
I have not, actually.
So on Twitter, people would, like Eric Larson, creator of Savage Dragon, he showed this picture right here, right? And what he did was he had one picture on Twitter of this ship, but drawn by Jack Kirby. And the ship is all like crazy pipes and lights and shit, and it's all different colors, and it's right in your face. And then there's this picture right here. And it's funny too, because you just mentioned Thor Ragnarok. That ship is just flying in the background in Thor Ragnarok too.
Oh, it is?
The Jack Kirby, ship. Oh, okay. Jack Kirby ship, yeah.
Gotcha.
So the main gripe that people had is that this is just like very a lot of other Marvel movies where it's just kind of like generic, and the coloring itself is not bright. I mean, that's a complaint about comic book movies almost across the board, right?
I think there is some kind of logic behind sometimes the brighter colors can look a little silly.
Right.
And I get that. But, looking at the ship here, this does not look Jack Kirby-esque at all. It looks like a flying boomerang. A stone boomerang? I don't know.
Well, it's funny, though, that you say that, Brian, because I don't know if you remember, but a couple episodes back, we were talking about how Jack Kirby did an adaptation of 2001. And that kind of reminds me of the 2001 monolith, right?
Yep.
On its side as a boomerang. But like with the idea of like comic book movies like being too colorful, like you said, there are a few exceptions to the case, right? There's like sort of, I always think of like Hellboy 2 or the Hellboy the Golden Army, whatever it's called. And then like Dick Tracy, that's not really a comic book, that's a comic strip. And then like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. Like I feel like all of those are very brightly colored comic movies.
I would say this Spider-Man is a little on the brighter side, but I don't know if I would consider them bright. I mean, the costumes in that movie were dull. I mean, the colors are dulled, you know?
Yeah.
You can argue about the shiny green goblin costume. I mean, it looks nothing like the bright green and purple of the comic books, you know?
It's a good point.
And his suit too, the blues and reds are much darker. I mean, you could argue that the Tom Holland suit is way brighter than that, but it still has that kind of muted look in a sense to me.
Do you think that it has to be muted for there to be this mass audience buy-in?
Yes. Yeah, I think it does. Let's go back to Jupiter's Legacy. I mean, they were in these super bright costumes and we didn't take it seriously, you know?
That's right. That's right.
It's hard to do. And I think it helps with the suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well then, like going in the opposite direction, you have this director, you have Chloe Zhao, who she did Nomadland and she won Best Director for that. Nomadland won Best Picture, and now she's directed this Marvel movie. And Sherry said, I didn't see Nomadland, but Sherry saw it, and she said that it was just like this beautiful to look at movie. It was extremely like slow. It was like the slow burn, but it was still good. It made her cry multiple times. And so I think it's interesting because like Nomadland sounds as far away from Jack Kirby as you could get, but I don't know if that means that she's the wrong director for this.
No, I mean, that's what Marvel does. Takes these kind of more up and coming directors or buzzworthy directors, depending on who it is, and kind of gets them on the train here. I mean, they don't quite allow them full reign, as we learned from like Edgar Wright. But you know, that's their kind of MO. They get these buzzworthy names to make these movies for them and hope it helps carry their authenticity.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, it's been a success. Like, I can't think... I mean, you know, people usually cite, like, Iron Man 2 and Incredible Hulk and Thor the Dark World as, like, sort of failures. But otherwise, I think that I could watch any Marvel movie and enjoy it. And there's kind of a range. There's a few directors where it's like you don't really know their names and they don't really stand out. But then you have, like, people like fucking... what's his face? The guy that, you know, he's done all these Shakespeare movies. He's British. Kenneth Branagh. You know, you have Taika Waititi. You have, you know, I mean, even Jon Favreau has his own kind of visual style. So it's all, I don't know. I think that she can do a good job based on the fact that I've seen her talk to, and she just, like, you can tell she loves movies, and she has this eye for these beautiful shots. So I think that... Chloe Zhao is going to do this fantastic job with this.
Now, here's a question for you. Now, do you think that the hiring of Chloe Zhao for this movie has anything to do as a counterpoint to the which I think is stalled now, but the Ava DuVernay and New Gods movie?
That is a really, really good question. It's not even stalled. It's completely canceled at this point.
It is canceled, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely is, like, political things behind the hiring of people at Marvel and DC. And so I think that, yeah, they're probably like, oh, let's go, you know, let's hire a female director and let's, you know, and it's ironic because New Gods is Jack Kirby too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what the hell they were going to do with that. That was weird because, like, Tom King was writing the script with her too.
Yeah, I was excited for that. I mean, I know a decent amount more about New Gods than I know about this.
Right.
I was excited to see, especially like Mr. Miracle and Big Barda. I'm looking at Icarus and Cersei. Like, oh, that's probably there, Mr. Miracle and Barda.
Yes. That's exactly it. They're kind of like equals, right?
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing too. That what you're saying is that, like, even Marvel fans aren't really familiar with the Eternals. Like, you know about Big Barda and Mr. Miracle because they've been in, like, DC Comics. Even before Tom King wrote Mr. Miracle, you still knew who they were because they were, like, in the Justice League, too.
Yep.
And yeah, some of these guys were on the Avengers, but it's, like, a very specific time of the Avengers. Whereas, like, the Justice League and all of the DC Universe has been dealing with the New Gods, like, for decades, since they've been around.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, there are so many parallels between Marvel and DC comic characters. And I think for the sometimes it's not super clear which one has a better version. But I think in terms of Eternals versus New Gods, I mean, I would take DC New Gods hands down every time, you know?
Boom. Yep. Yeah, me too, man. Me too. So I got like two more points and then I got to get going because tonight's actually my mine and my wife's 8-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, my God. I was at your wedding. I forgot.
Yeah, Brian flew to Texas to be there at my wedding. I was real happy. And I think that at this time at night, Brian and I were talking about comics, too, at my wedding.
Probably, yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, so I have two more points then that I want to talk to you about. One was the other joke that was on Twitter. I just sound like I'm just a Twitter addict, which I am. But, like, the joke on Twitter was, like, oh, the Eternals said they can't get involved. And then, like, Thanos wiped out half the population of the universe. And, you know, Loki tried to take over the Earth. And Ultron tried to destroy the Earth. Like, you know, what are these guys doing, basically? You know, so what do you think their explanation for not getting involved at those points is going to be?
Yeah, because it sounds like they were guiding them and they weren't getting involved. I mean, but, like, I assume that it's because it wasn't a threat that was related, that was caused by them or related to them. I'm assuming that the deviants will be, obviously will be the villains here.
Yeah.
And then because it'll be almost like their fault or something. So they're cleaning up their own mess.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, I know you can make the argument about Thanos with his ties to the Eternals and the Deviants.
Yeah.
But maybe they won't have that connection. I know. Was that your second point?
Yeah, dude, you totally just jumped to it. I even knew it. That's awesome. Just for people that don't know this kind of shit, like in the comics, the Eternals have been around for, I guess, maybe millions of years, but definitely like hundreds of thousands of years. And at one point, some of the Eternals branched off and moved to the moon of Titan, which I can't remember which planet that is the moon of. Maybe that's Jupiter, too. But they lived on the moon of Titan, and Thanos was born there. He is an Eternal. But the thing about Thanos is that he's an Eternal that has that deviant gene. That's why Thanos has his chin and he's purple. In the MCU, do you remember when they showed like a little flashback of Titan?
Yes.
Right, because like Thanos essentially like he uses like maybe the time gem or the reality stone or whatever, and he like shows what Titan looks like for a second, right? But everyone's so far away that you can't tell if it's like a whole planet of Thanos looking people or not.
Yeah. And by the way, it is a moon of Saturn.
Oh, good job, man. Awesome. Okay. I'm glad you got that. So do you think that they're going to go down that route at all or no?
I have no idea. I'm going to say they're not. I'm going to say they're going to keep it totally separate, which I guess makes sense. It kind of lends itself to that argument that why they wouldn't have gotten involved. Because if it was Thanos, they probably should have been involved. But then again, these characters were not involved in, like, the Infinity Gauntlet comic book, you know?
Right. Right. That's a good point, too.
Maybe Eros was. He's not in this, right?
Eros is I'm trying to think what his superhero name is. His superhero name's like Star Fox, isn't it?
Star Fox, that's right.
He's in Infinity War, but I don't think I saw him in the trailer. I don't think I saw him like listed in the one of the characters either. So yeah. But who knows? Do you know when this is coming out?
I want to say November. No, November 5th, yeah.
November of 2021?
Yeah, this year.
Holy shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we still got Black Widow. We got Shang-Chi. We got Eternals. And we got Spider-Man.
Holy shit. That's crazy, man.
We went from having two movies a year to four or something like that, one or two a year to four.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy. Yeah, and this is going to be the 26th Marvel movie, too. That's crazy. Yeah. Isn't that nuts, man?
Yeah, that's nuts. And honestly, you know, we mentioned before that this is kind of an unknown property for most people. They're not going to know what it is going in. But obviously, Marvel has done this before with Guardians of the Galaxy, and that proved to be a huge success. What's your over-under on if this will flop? It will be their first flop, or will they, you know, hit the nail on the head again?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Believe me, I've thought about it. It looks... Everyone says it doesn't look exciting, right? Because it just looks dull with the colors compared to that.
This is a teaser. This is a visual teaser that's giving us zero plot. If people were saying it's dull after the plot-centered trailer, I would absolutely say flop. But I think this is not enough to go on to call it either way.
So what I'll say about that is with Guardians of the Galaxy, you have James Gunn, who had his vision, and he took the clay of the comic and he molded it to fit his vision, where you have this character that's listening to all this retro music, and the music is such a big part of the movie, and they all revolve around Star-Lord, right? And he tweaked each of the characters. With this, if Chloe Zhao takes her vision, and it's like, we're going to stay kind of maybe away from the cosmic stuff, but we're going to make this about like being an immortal and living multiple lives or guiding humanity, if like she can tap into something there that is her own vision, then I think this might be like almost like a Black Panther type. Oh, wow. I can't believe that this was as big a hit as it was. And it won't make as much money as Black Panther. It won't be as big a hit, but I think it'll be a surprise.
Yeah. I'm overall thinking that we're going to have a more medium expectation here, you know, in terms of box office. Actually, no, because who knows what the box office is actually going to look like because of, you know, this year. We don't know how movies are going to recover or what numbers are going to look like, you know, once everyone feels comfortable going back to the movies. So I don't know. I also just wanted to add too that they had that little tag at the end with the little joke about, you know, who's going to lead the Avengers. Which one? I'm glad it tells us that it's set after
Endgame.
But it also says that there will be some humor, and it's not going to be a dour or too much of a straightforward movie.
Good point. Good point. I mean, look at Angelina Jolie guffawing back here. Yeah. Who's going to lead them? Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I will gladly go see this in the theaters when it comes out. And out of those three, though, real quick, before I go spend time with my wife, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, this, which one are you the most excited about seeing?
Black Widow.
Black Widow. Holy shit. That is interesting.
It's established characters that I know. I have, you know, there might be... I mean, it was also long overdue to her to get a movie. Yeah. I don't know enough about Shang-Chi or this to be as excited. If you would have threw Spider-Man in there, I would have said Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, of course. I will say for me, I don't know, man. Maybe I'll say Black Widow 2, not just because we share the same mind. But maybe I'll say Black Widow because I want to know why is it relevant? now. I understand it's like they're just making this movie because, like, she's been around. She kind of deserves it. But, like, how are they going to tie it in to be like, oh, there's a reason why we saw this movie? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I should have said that in my own little thing there.
It's okay, man. That's what I'm here for, you know? Either I say it or you say it, you know? Yeah. Well, dude, thank you for taking your time on a Wednesday night to talk about this with me. For our people that watch our channel, guys, we are going to be here on Wednesday nights to watch, to review Loki, which that starts not next week, but the following week.
2 weeks.
Two weeks. June 9th, we'll be here at 9:30 Central Time. Brian is cool enough to stay up late on a work night to talk about Loki with me.
If I get fired, I'm blaming you.
Okay, good. Perfect. Sorry, Brandon. So anyway, Brian, thanks so much, man, and we will see you guys next time.